We're going to continue in the songs that are inspired by the story today. On the story of Esther, I've been anticipating this story. It's one of my favorites. And I love this song because it kind of continues that theme that we sang earlier in the song Oceans. Of sometimes, Lord, I need to do the thing that I'm uncomfortable to do, but I can do it through your strength. Natalie, who shared our announcements on the screen with us this morning, is also going to sing this song for you today. It's simply called Born for This. And I really encourage you to listen to those words and ask how God would have you apply them to your life today.
Feels like I've been holding my breath, trying to still restless heart. Everything hangs on my next step, finding my nerve, playing my part. I found shelter underneath his crown, found favor inside his eyes. Rock this boat and I just might drown. Honest seems come with a price. There's a time to hold your tongue, time to keep your head.
So blessed with such great talent and such great ability. We just thank the Lord that it's surrendered to God and used for Him. Amen. This is an incredible story that you're going to hear this morning. If you're hearing it for the first time, it's awesome. I hope I do it justice just trying to be able to give it to you. But for many of us, it's like one of our favorite stories as we think about the Queen of Beauty and Courage. And this is the story of Esther. And it's the only book in the Bible where God's name is not mentioned. However, his handprint is stamped all over this thing. You will see that as we go. And we all have heard, or many of us have heard, but who knows that you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. You are where you are for such a time as this. I just think it's awesome that a little town in central Pennsylvania could be impacting all around the world, touching lives and transforming lives, because you are here for such a time as this. Your investment and the way that you are serving is making that kind of a difference, and we're excited about that as we see that. Let's pray. Father, open our hearts in these few moments we share that we can hear your voice. Teach us in Christ's name. Amen. Let me say that there are five major characters in the story, so as we look at each of those, just so you can kind of stay understanding who it is and the script line, this is what happened during the time of Xerxes. Xerxes, as the first character, King Xerxes ruled over 127 provinces stretching from India to Kush. He was a powerful king from 486 to 465 BC. Now, I thought it would be really helpful so you could see how far-reaching his kingdom is, because sometimes we don't grasp that. All that brown is his kingdom. Huge. I mean, like, sometimes you would think that's a little country someplace. No, look, this encompasses all kinds of countries in size, as we would see the significance all the way over to India, Iraq, Iran, Jerusalem, Israel, and Egypt, and all of those that are in between. So, significant king, very, very elaborate in all that he was able to do, very powerful. Well, his queen was called Vashti, and Vashti was the beautiful first wife and queen to King Xerxes. We'll hear about her short time that she is in leadership. Queen Esther was a Jewish orphan who was raised by her cousin Mordecai, who later became queen. So Mordecai was the cousin. Really, she was adopted kind of by him. And so he became the father figure in her life to be able to see what takes place. Now, Haman was given the highest seat of honor above all the other nobles by the king. So he's kind of the right-hand man, Haman, a really self-seeking kind of person that you'll see as we go. It's kind of an interesting turn as God works it out. Mordecai, among those Jews who had been carried into exile by King Nebuchadnezzar into Babylon. So this is kind of the placement of the characters that we see that are a part of the story. Now, the king gave a party for all his nobles and his officials. Now, this party lasted 180 days. Now, this was some party. I mean, he 6 months. So, you know, Sharon and I had the privilege on this trip that we made. We took a couple personal days because our flight went through London. And so we took a couple personal days and visited London for a bit. And we had the privilege of going through the Tower of London. And it's quite a large complex as far as not just one kind of tower. But one of the towers like holds the crown jewels. And so we got to go in there. We really felt like it was kind of a great setup for what I was going to share with you this Sunday. But we got to go in to see. And as we were standing before one of the displays that were there, there was a large, about 3 foot across, about 3 feet, basin that was about this big. It had the Last Supper picture engraved in it. And it was all solid gold. It was like phenomenal. And we looked at that, and then the pictures were solid gold, and all of the everything in this whole display was all solid gold. It was just like, wow. And this is the kind of things that existed for King Xerxes, and this is the way they served their parties. And we were just like in awe as we looked at it, because it was like, there's something you hear about, like this opulence and this wealth. You hear about it, and it kind of does something. But when you see it, you go, that's amazing. That is just amazing. And so as we walk through that, we just couldn't get over how much there was there that was on display. Well, this happened at this particular party. He was actually pretty rip-roaring drunk. And what he decided, he wanted Queen Vashti to come wearing her crown to before them, before all the partiers. Many writers feel that that's all he wanted her to wear, just the crown. And she refused to come. And she said, no, I'm not going. I'm not going to put myself in that situation. So the king was upset. Like, you don't say no to the king. You don't do that. So at that point, he went to his male advisors, and you can imagine what they all said. And they said, listen, if the queen won't listen to the king and she does whatever she wants, what hope is there for the rest of us with our wives? Our wives are not going to listen to us either. Something big has to happen. And thus ends Queen Vashti. She was no longer mentioned. This is the end of her reign in that sense, and she was deposed. And after a bit of time, the king was lonely, wanted another king, queen, and so they kind of sent out a search, and his advisors once again said, let's bring the most beautiful women in the nations, and let's have a beauty contest, and let's pick the woman that would be the most beautiful. Well, Esther, cousin, but like a daughter of Mordecai, is chosen as one of the candidates for prospective queen. She was pampered for 12 months in preparation. Like, this is like spa day every day of your life for a year. How about that? That's not so bad. So that's how they prepared these women to be able to select. And as a result, we see she was the one picked. The young woman, who was also known as Esther, had a lovely figure and was beautiful. Mordecai had taken her as his own daughter when her father and mother died. So the scripture tells us. Well, that all happened, and Esther is chosen. She brings pleasure to the king. He chooses her as his queen. And so this is all set up. Mordecai, her stepfather in that sense, or a father who assumed that, he overheard a plot against the king. And so this plot, it says, during the time Mordecai was sitting at the king's gate, he overheard two officers become angry and conspired to assassinate King Xerxes. He hears this and he reports it to Esther. Esther tells Xerxes that there's a plot to kill you. And Mordecai is the one who's given us this information so that we could be able to make sure. Well, as a result, she told the king, and the king was very grateful, very pleased that he would be able to find that out. However, Haman's anger began to build. Now, Haman, remember, is the number two guy for the king, and he's putting himself up like somebody who should be worshipped. So as he kind of goes around, he wants everybody to bow down to him as he goes through the town. And when he comes to Mordecai, Mordecai will not bow down to anyone but God. And this makes Haman angry. And so he begins to see this over and over and get very angry about what he can do. So he devises a plan, because he knows Mordecai is Jewish. He designs a plan to kill Mordecai and all his people. He's going to have them all put to death. In fact, he builds this 50-foot gallows that's right in the center of everything. This is like 25, 30 feet. It's so twice the size of this, so it'd be very, very notable. And he builds this gallows so that he could be able to have Mordecai killed on this for the whole community to see. And so this is his plan. He ends up doing this. He was kind of ready to make sure this could happen. When Mordecai learned of all that he had been done, He tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, and went into the city wailing loudly and bitterly. And so he went out to really appeal for his people. Now, the next thing he does is he appeals to Esther. And so he goes to Esther because he wants her to know that she's their only hope. She's their only hope of being able to intervene in this. Scripture says this: do not think that because you are in the king's house, this is what he tells her, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. Doesn't that tell us, like, God's got a plan, and if you're not willing to be a part of it, he's going to have to use somebody else. Like, I don't want him to miss me. Like, if God wants to use me in a plan, then, like, put me in. Because we want to make sure that we're doing what God can do the most. Well, he says, but you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to such a royal position for such a time as this. You know, God has a plan. And he's putting us in the place where we need to be for right now, because he wants to use us. Now, Esther knows the risk that she's taking by going to the king, because no one can go to the king unless the king has summoned you to come. If you come into his presence without being asked, you can be struck dead. That's it. It's a death warrant. And so when we were in London also, we saw these scepters. And, you know, I figured they were kind of nice, kind of like a stick that was really nice, but I didn't know how. But when we saw some of those elaborate scepters, all gold with diamonds, like that are in the end, they were like magnificent. And this is what Xerxes would have had, and he would have raised it out. And if he lifted the scepter toward Esther, that meant she was given permission to be there. And that's exactly, as we see, she determines to respond to Mordecai's appeal. So Esther says, okay, I'm in. I'll do this. I know it could cost my life, but I'm in. And she asked her people, look, if I'm going to do this, I want you guys to pray and fast for 3 days. I'm not going to go here without prayer and fasting. What does it tell us? If you're going to see God do something big in your life and through you, spend some time in prayer and fasting. Really trust God to really work and prepare that place ahead of time. Well, that's what they did. And he said, go gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. This is Esther's words. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. So she was ready to give her life. If that's what's going to cost, she was going to do it. Queen Esther had a plan on how to make all this happen, and so she was going to decide what to do. How do we do this, and how can I work it out? So on the third day, Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the palace in front of the king's hall. And when she did, the king granted her access, and so she was fine. He said, what is it that you want? And she said, I would like to invite the king and Haman to a banquet. I would like you to come and just enjoy that. They said, hey, we're in. So they came to the banquet. She had this feast and this wonderful banquet and treated just them. Haman's like in his glory. He's like, yeah, this is like what I was made for. And so he's enjoying this whole time. And so the king says, what is it that you want, Esther? And she says, well, I would like to invite you to another dinner and another banquet tomorrow night. So, and then I will share with you what I would like. He says, okay, that would be great. Hey, we're all in for this. I mean, he partied 6 months. He's certainly 2 days. He's excited about that. So he comes in, and the next day we see that God had a bigger plan. And he gives the king a sleepless night. So during the night, the king can't sleep. And so I don't know what you do when you can't sleep, but one of the best things for me is to read a book. It can put me right back to sleep. That's exactly what happened with the king. He decided to get up, and he was going to read the journals that they had in their book that they had kept of all the different things. So he's reading, and all of a sudden he comes across Mordecai. And Mordecai was the one who had heard about the plot to kill the king. And he said, wow, nothing ever was done for this guy. I want to do something for this guy. So he goes then to Haman, and he says, Haman, what would a king want to do for someone that he really wanted to honor, and he wanted to make sure that he had great recognition? Like, what would you do? Well, Haman thinks it's himself. So he says, well, I think you should put him on a horse and let somebody, one of your high officials, pull that horse all around town and let everybody cheer and really revere this guy who's done this for you. I think that would be great. He said, great idea, Haman. Here, I want you to pull Mordecai on a horse all around town so everybody can be able to say, this is how we treat people who help the king. And so they'll all know that. Well, this was not a good day for Haman. He was not excited about having this day, and so this next day he did what he was supposed to do, and I can only imagine how humiliated he was. He built this gallows to kill Mordecai. Now he's kind of honoring him, and he's kind of walking around and pulling. Well, there should have been some good news that was going to come, but certainly it tells us God has power over circumstances and over leaders. And so there is nothing that God can't do. And so we see this kind of forming and coming together. Haman surprisingly has to honor Mordecai, and he was not excited, so this was a bad day. But he had something to look forward to. He was going to go to another banquet with the queen and the king that night. And so he was pretty excited. At least that would kind of redeem the day as it was. Well, they came to the dinner, and Esther, the king says, and what is it that you want? And Esther tells the king what Haman has brought in, his plan to kill her and her people and Mordecai, someone who's saved the life of the king. And the king is furious. He is so angry. He goes out of the room because he's so angry. Meantime, Haman's like, realize, hey, I'm toast. This is over. Now what? And so he goes in to appeal to Esther for his own life. He trips and falls on top of her. King walks in and sees them, and it's going like, you would molest my queen? I mean, and like, so everything that could go wrong went wrong for Haman. And the king then grants the favor to Esther and hangs Haman on his own gallows that he built for Mordecai. Isn't that like, what a great turn of events. So it's just like, yes. As you look at that and you think, that's exactly what it should be. Let me say this. I want you to remember what God did here and how God can use it in your life as we close. One, God calls us to look for opportunities to see him working and find out how you can join him. He's asking every one of us, look around, see how God's working. Find out what you can do. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. God has a plan. He wants you to be a part of it. He wants you to find out what it is. God desires for you to invite him into your process as you watch him work. So, Lord, I want to be in your plan. Please come into my journey and help me to see what it is that you want to do. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Well, thirdly, God will give you the courage to speak up if you're willing to acknowledge him. Esther was willing. She knew it may cost her life, but she was willing. Do you know it won't cost your life to be a witness where you work or in your family or in your community, but it makes God will give you the courage to do what you need to do if you're willing to follow and you're willing to do it. He says, whoever acknowledges me before others, I'll acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. Whoever disowns me before others, I'll disown before my Father in heaven. God calls us to be willing to stand up. And four, God has the last say, or it ain't over till it's over. The fact is, you may think by what you're looking at that there's no way. It can't happen. But let me say, God has the last say. He is the one who will be able to work. And that's why he says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So what do I want? God writes the last chapter, and it has a surprise ending. Haman would never have thought he was going to end up on the gallows that he had built for someone else. Mordecai would never have known how God was going to work as he adopted this little girl. He would never have known when everything was closing in that God would wake up a king in the middle of the night and have him see what he saw. He would never have known. And I want to say that none of us knows how God's going to work through your life. And let me say this. I'm going to share these. And as I share these, if one of these fears is something that you battle with or you've battled with, would you just stand right where you are? Because I'd like to have a closing prayer for you. So name your fears. Is it illness? Are you struggling with something in your life or your family? If you just stand right where you are, is aging, like wondering what's going to happen and for my future and how it's going to come, or not enough money, knowing how will I ever make ends meet? How will I go? I've lost a job. I'm not sure what's going to come next. I've lost loss of a home. I'm fearful of our finances and our circumstances and what can come. My family is breaking down. There's problems that have happened and things that are falling apart. I have a fear of being alone, and I don't want to be in that place in my life. My children have gone off the wrong direction, and they are not following where I want to see that happen, and I know that God wants, so I have wayward children. Depression is something I struggle with, and it's something that continually tries to battle with me. My own death, I wonder about my future and what could happen, and I'm not sure about what would take place, or whatever, that you need to just trust God to write the final chapter rather than yourself. You just need to trust God to write this chapter, and it's not you. I'm standing with you this morning because I am believing God to write the final chapter for some needs in my life and some circumstances, and I'm believing that he is capable of doing that. Let me have prayer with you as we close. Father, you know each one that is here. You know each circumstance. You know everything that's about it. Thank you that you write the final chapter. It's not us. Thank you that you have a surprise ending that's about to come for each one of us as we're trusting in you, whether it's our family, our health, our circumstances, our finances, no matter what it is, Lord, you know that we have it in your hands and it's not in ours. We're going to trust you for what you want to accomplish, trust you for what's going to be done in the days ahead. You know each one that is standing, and you know whatever fear or whatever circumstance that they could be able to feel that could overwhelm them. But Lord, you are greater, and you have something that you want to work out that goes beyond what we could imagine or think. And so, Lord, we are trusting you. We're believing that this is in your hands, and you're going to work all things together for good, no matter what it seems like we're facing. We're just grateful. Let's all stand together. Father, I ask that you would go with us. Help us to remember what you have blessed our lives, the way you've blessed our lives, and what you want to do in our future. We're loving and believing, Father, that you've got a plan and trusting you for it. In Christ's name, amen. May God bless you and go with you.